Welcome to Control Talk Now. This is your host, Eric Stromquist. It's Control Talk Now, your source for control and smart building news for the week ending August 17th, 2014. I am joined, as usual, by the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only, Kenny Smyers from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Kenny, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Eric. I just jumped out on stage, but you can't see that because we have a new innovation here. Control Trends, or Control Talk Now, we're on a different kind of format. Why don't you just tell us at the very beginning of the show what's going on?
Yeah, I'll tell you because I know all you people who love looking at the handsome Ken Smyers are probably missing that a little bit. But one of the themes of the show, Kenny, I think this week is going to be sort of innovate or perish. And we have some stuff that we're going to be talking about. But if we look at Control Talk Now, it's very, very popular. The people that we talk to, they pretty much turn it on in the background and they listen to it. So they're not really looking at us anyway. We will still be doing a lot of video formatted type things. So we're not giving up on video completely. But the setup for this is to get the video part right. It generally takes me about 2 hours to try to get it right. And we're having to stop if Skype has a hiccup. The video portion takes a lot of bandwidth. So we are in the process of innovating. And when we got started early, Kenny, you'll remember we did both. We posted both the podcast and the video cast. And, doing the podcast is a whole different set of work to get that done. But most people liked it because they can download it. And we're set up now in the iTunes store as well as some other places. So you'll be able to download the podcast, put it on your smart device, take it with you. I think it's going to be a really cool thing there. The audio quality should be a lot higher because we're not using bandwidth up with the video on this particular format or show. So, and then along those lines, Kenny, we're going to add some more stuff. We're going to go through the control news of the week, but we're going to maybe have that will be a little bit shorter. We're going to talk about some topics, some things that we think could affect our industry, some trends, if you will. So sort of that's the thought process behind it. Hey, if you guys don't like it, please let us know. If you do like it, let us know. But we think overall, the people that, would just turn it on Monday morning, listen to it in the background can still do that. And the people that, are not participating in Control Talk Now can, because they don't have time to sit in front of the computer, can download it on their smart device and take it with them. And we sort of did a couple of trial runs, Kenny. We posted some old episodes just on the iTunes store and a couple of other places, and the stats were just huge. We had a big new audience that came in that found us, not even in our community, so it'll help the Control Trends community grow.
Well, it sounds really good, Eric, and I don't think we're going to yield any of the, the video coverage that we do. It's just this is going to be in addition to it. In other words, I agree with you that the podcast the concept is growing, and I too, when I'm driving, I listen to a lot of audiobooks, but now I can download podcasts and I can really catch up on some things and utilize that travel time between point A and point B, and I think it's just a great medium to convey information.
No, completely agree, Kenny. And like I said, from time to time, we will come back on and do both things. Like, for example, the Tech Talk with Johnson Controls will obviously stay a video podcast. When we bring Rick Warner, the innovator, on, if he's got something he needs to show us, we'll use the video on that too. But and for those of you who just missed looking at Ken Smyers, just reach out in comments and we will send you a headshot so you can put it on your computer and look at it.
Please.
But Kenny, you were talking, let's talk a little bit about innovate or perish. Tell me a little bit, we were talking before the show about an interesting article you read, and let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, I did, Eric, and it started probably around last year, November, latter part of November. Fast Company wrote a really interesting article about how we're seeing the Appleization of industries and how they use Apple sometimes as a touchstone for many business lessons. But what got me about this article was that they talk about the importance of design and innovation and how design starts at the top and how a CEO really gives focus the entire organization at once with their concept of design innovation. And I thought, how does that apply to our industry? How does that apply to the HVAC industry? How does that apply to the products within the HVAC industry? And, there is a correlation. I feel like what you do often is you make us the Apple of the HVAC media. In other words, we're going always to the next step. We're always trying to experiment. And one of the most important things I read in this article was that the efforts that are exerting in a flop measure, a flop phase of trying something, are actually begin to produce the muscle mass that the that's used for the success in the following phases. In other words, you can't succeed unless you fail. But I think that applies to everybody. I think we're seeing this apply to products within the HVAC that we'll talk about. I think we'll talk about that with executives, how different executives now have different relationships, you know, and how the importance of the CIO, the CTO, well, then you have the CDO, the chief design officer, and how somebody with new ideas has to kind of collate and become a partner with the CEO. So you get these duos, these dynamic duos within the organization. And that is what they found out by reverse engineering the success of PepsiCo, Apple, and some of the other. Well, they have here we got Christopher. Let's see, what is the name of that company? It's eluding me. Oh, Nike was the big one. But they actually have an event every day where they get together and they try to create a new approach with a design type of thing. It's not the design structure where you're drawing something like a building structure for design, but actually ideas and innovation. So I think it's a really cool concept, and we see it applied now. We're going to start to see it as a trend applied to HVAC.
Well, Kenny, you're absolutely correct, and I think there's a great book by Daniel Pink who sort of studies these trends and things like that. And what do you think the highest paid business degree is now? And I'll give you a hint, it has nothing to do with MBAs. MBAs are kind of like a dime a dozen, but what would you think the number one business degree is now?
I'm going to say, you told me this before, it's going to be in some sort of a innovative one with design, probably, or like with literature or something.
It's actually a master's of fine art degree. Okay. And the reason being, Ken, it gets back to what you're saying, design now, there's a technical design and, to be, especially in our industry, you better have a good technical design to be even playing. So that's one aspect of it. You got to have the technology design. As a company, you have to have great customer support to even be part of the conversation. So the differentiator for these people, and I think Apple was a great example of this, was that the aesthetics. So the aesthetics matter. There's got to be that wow factor when you look at something. And so masters of fine art. So for example, GE has a poet on there as one of their executive team. And his whole deal is how do we create this brand to have an aesthetic that wow factor? And I mean, all of us remember when the Apple smartphones came out, the iPods. All those things, there was a simple elegance to them. And Apple, if you read Steve Jobs' biography, I mean, that was a huge thing for him, was simple and elegant to have that appeal. So I think in our industry, we're going to see more and more of that. You sort of see it already with, companies like Nest. I mean, sort of had that really cool feature about it. You look at another one, the Honeywell Lyric thermostat that just came out, sort of has that aesthetic. I would argue the Redlink does. Ecobee thermostats, a bunch of them do. So that sort of wow factor that has to do with the aesthetic of your offering has so much to do with it. Let me look at J2 Innovations, look at DG Logic, for example. I mean, there's an aesthetic to it. So the functionality, you got to have that, but it's got to have an aesthetic to it. So I think that's a trend we're going to see more and more of. I said Apple sort of was, as you guys may or may not know, I'm a huge, huge Apple fan. But since Steve Jobs left, I see those guys sort of falling off a little bit with that. I just recently had to get a new phone. I switched to the Samsung phone. I think Samsung really has captured that aesthetic, that cool factor, that wow factor, plus they're open. So it's interesting how it's changing up, Kenny. It really, really is. So with that, I think that's a trend we're tracking. The other trend I want to mention to you, Kenny, is I think the cycle back around to the local distributor having a huge advantage is upon us. I think the Amazon factor is going to diminish greatly. So all our distributor brethren and our local people who've complained about, Amazon having an unfair advantage, I say it's over. So I'm going to give you two examples, Kenny. The first one is there's a Barnes & Noble store here in Atlanta. And my daughter, Evelyn, loves this place, okay? It is like her absolute favorite place. We go down there, she reads books, there's story time and all that. So consequently, I buy my books from those guys, and I make sure that they know this is something that Amazon could never ever give our family is the experience of my young baby daughter being able to go to the bookstore and browse and hang out. So it's a cool thing. So I think, you know, that's a factor. The other thing, Kenny, I got to tell you is, all right, here's a story that I think just really takes care of this. So I've got a local audio store that I work with, and when we're getting ready for this new format, I need to get a new mixer. So this is sort of the good, the bad, and the ugly, if you will, of local distributors, sort of what not to do and what you could do. So I'm thinking about these guys. I find the mixer I want. I know I'm going to need some help getting this thing set up. So I reach out to my local guy who's great technically. Okay. And he orders this thing for me. He tells me it's going to take him about two weeks to get it. Well, 2 months later, I still don't have the thing. Of course, at the same time I'm looking, Amazon has 6 of these things online. This guy actually gives me a price break to make up for what I thought was not having to pay taxes on this. But long story short, these guys, the local guys, never really followed up. I had to call them constantly. And then finally, they tell me the vendor won't ship. They won't tell, the vendor won't tell me when, tell them when they're going to ship it, and they're not going to ship till they get a big enough order. So I'm kind of out of luck. I tell the guy, I hate this. I'm going to have to cancel the order. I cancel the order from Amazon. I get it the next day. And of course, I look at the bill, and what do I see? I've been charged tax on this, which was one of the huge advantages to ordering online is you didn't have to pay tax. So that was an 8% price break right there. And of course, I get this thing out. I can't figure out how to make it work. And there's nobody at Amazon that's going to be able to help me with this, Kenny. So I'm sort of stuck. I got a mixer that I paid more for than I could have locally, and I have nobody to support it. So I say one of the trends that's going to happen now is we're going to see people like Amazon become less and less relevant, because why would you order online when you can go to your local guy that can provide you support and you're not getting a price advantage?
Bingo, Eric. We knew this was coming, and your first impressions were that you lost or you paid more money. But the truth of the matter is that there was a Amazon law. You know, recently several states have enacted legislation intended to capture use taxes on sales made out by out-of-state sellers to in-state customers. And these laws are commonly referred to the Amazon laws, because Arkansas was one of the first states to go after Amazon and say, hey, you know, you're taking money out of our network, out of our, it's very necessary that we get the sales tax. If we can't get the sales tax, they're going to, you know, start to follow up on the use tax. And the use tax is the companion to a sales tax. The sales tax is imposed on the sale of goods and services within the state's borders, while the use tax is imposed on purchases made by the state's residents from out of state, remote sellers. The purpose of the use tax is to dissuade residents from purchasing goods and services from out of state merchants in order to avoid the sales tax. So they're going right after that. So there's some misinterpretations, you know, about the Internet Tax Freedom Act, and they did a great clarification. We'll have a link on that coming out of the FAS-org. Excuse me, on the post, on the Control Talk Now written summary, the narrative on control trends. But basically, the second misrepresentation is that the United States Constitution prohibits states from taxing internet sales. States have the power to tax their residents even when the seller is located out of the state and has no real connection with the state. There are, however, constitutional restrictions on the state's power to require an out-of-state seller to collect use tax from the purchaser on behalf of the state. See, now Amazon's complying with that. This does not exempt the purchaser from the duty to pay use tax on the items purchased from out-of-state sellers who have no nexus within the purchaser's state. The purchaser remains responsible for paying the use tax. However, the rate of purchaser compliance is low. As a result of this low compliance and increasing internet commerce, states are attempting to develop new ways in which they can capture the use taxes that are going uncollected on internet sales. And I'll tell you what, I got my first wake-up call, because if you are a company, they know or they presume, and you have to state, you know, for the record, if you are buying things out of state and circumventing the local state tax, you better report the use tax, because what the big caveat is not only will they catch you now because of the big data and all the other ways to link all these interstate commerce transactions, because those companies like Amazon are going to have to report them, you will be probably found out in short order, and then you will not only pay that use tax, but you'll also pay the penalties. And that's what are going to really wake up people to the Amazon laws.
So, Kenny, are you saying this is how John Petsy from Sky Foundry, the king of big data, is helping the U.S. government get out of debt?
John, I didn't say that.
Well, hey, Kenny, so, you know, so it's a big deal. So I say it's a great time to be a local distributor. I think, you know, your marketing and your brand should all, you know, deal with the fact that you provide great local support and you can give, you know, have the products in stock. But hey, the key here is you better provide great local support. Kenny, I saw just a really sort of cycling back around to Apple a little bit. You know, one of the great things about going to the Apple store was, you know, they really cared. They were there. They really helped you out. For the last couple of times I've been in, I sense an apathy there that I haven't seen before. So that's not what you want to do. Whereas Barnes & Noble, every time we go in there, we're greeted. The people care. They help us out. They're nice to our daughter. I mean, there's an example of a company that I think is ramping up the local experience, if you will. And again, that's something Amazon and online people cannot give you. They can't give you that local experience. So I know at Stromquist and Company, for those of you who don't know, Kenny and I both own our own distribution companies. We've suffered over the years with, you know, people like Amazon and online people coming into our area. And the big thing was immediately our customers would go, we get an 8% tax break. So it's an 8% discount. Well, they're not going to get that anymore. So I think it's time to revamp and really get out and encourage your customers to buy locally from you. So innovate or become irrelevant. And speaking of that, Kenny, let's talk about a company and a person that's quite an innovator. So we're going to go through our sponsors here in a little bit for the Control Trends Awards, but there's one in particular. And as a matter of fact, Kenny, we're going to give her this first sponsorship of the show. Delta Controls Copper Tree Analytics has come on as a platinum sponsor. And Kenny, tell the story about how we got hooked up with these guys.
We were at the IBCON, RealCom, Intelligent Building Conference in June 18th and 19th, and we were covering the show to give the people that couldn't make it there kind of a video synopsis of some of the exciting things that were going on. We got the drones and interviewed the CEO and founder of Terrasaur. We had different things going on. We met the people that did the survey robot that went inside of a building and was able to provide 100% accurate detailed measurements of the interior of a building. And then we kept going through the show to the vendor show, and we were approached by Una DeBoer from Delta Controls that was a vendor there. And instead of us kind of tracking people down and asking them, she asked us when we were going to come over and visit with them because they had so many exciting things to talk about. And it was kind of a discovery for us because, you know, like you said, we make a living selling two-step distribution, and we didn't have an affiliation with Delta Controls. We knew about them. They were very formidable competitors. But then as we got to meet them, we saw why they were so excited and why she was so excited to share what Delta's doing and what their affiliate, Copper Tree, was doing, you know. And then we find out that Delta Controls has a story of one, you know, it's a prolific success story. They're a privately held corporation. They've been manufacturing BAS controls, all made in North America for over 30 years, and they are the world's largest independent BAS manufacturer. The Delta Controls motto, which permeates through the organization, is do it right. And their affiliate, Copper Tree Analytics, which is wholly owned by Delta and ESC Automation, provides an agnostic, an open solution that works with anybody's control system that focuses on data analytics and building optimization. And what a great company. What do you think?
Well, really great company. Our integrators, you know, go up against them a little bit. You know, we've known about Delta for years. They got to have a great reputation. But the point I want to stress is when we talk about innovate or perish, you know, again, when we go to these conferences, we're having to track people down to get them on camera and ask. And here Una comes up and she tracks us down. So I think one of the really characteristics of an innovator to me is, hey, they pay attention. They know that trends are changing, and to be innovative, you have to stay on top of the trend. So, you know, she observed us, and then the second thing is curious. She got curious. She came, what are you guys doing? We explained it to her, and then they make quick decisions, and how can they incorporate that into what they're doing? And she goes, hey, when are you guys going to come video us? So we did that. The video is actually up on Control Trends. We'll hear a lot more from Una. And then the fact that she takes that, she sees what's going on with Control Trends and the Control Trends community. She figures out how that figures into their brand, and then she steps up to the plate and becomes a platinum sponsor. So First of all, thank you to Una and Delta and Copper Tree Analytics for coming on as sponsors. I think you'll hear a lot more of these guys and girls on the show. So, you know, Kenny, thanks to those guys. But look, we have quite a bit of news on the sponsorship front. So without a further ado, let's thank our new sponsors, and then we'll go back and thank our existing ones. Things are looking good, though, for the 2014 Control Trends Awards to be held in Chicago in concert with AHR. So let's take a second here and let's thank our sponsors. First, the new ones, Kenny.
Well, Eric, we have, beginning with International Systems of America, ISA, Contemporary Controls, KMC. We also have ACI, Viconic, CAC Schneider, Functional Devices, J2 Innovations, and Haystack. And they join Vicon, Siemens, Johnson, Linkspring, EZIO, DG Logics, and Belimo.
And Honeywell, the Big Red H came on this week, too.
That's another point. They were actually the last ones that we had come on board before the 15th deadline.
Yep. So thanks to Amy Anderson and the team at Honeywell, as well as all our sponsors. Kenny, I think a lot of people know what a lot of these guys is. Let's just take a quick second and break some of these guys down so the people who maybe don't know them will. Let's start with ISA because they are talk about innovation, a really, really innovative company. And again, Julio Rodriguez, their national sales manager, had been tracking control trends, and they actually invited us to come up and do a video of their facility. So let's break them down just a little bit for our audience.
All right, Eric. I'm queuing something up here right now. Well, why don't you tell us about Julio? Why get this thing on board?
Well, Julio, again, you know, tracks control trends. We have a lot of people throughout the industry that tracks control trends. And what ISA does, basically, Kenny, is they refurbish legacy controls. So old stuff where you have an organization that doesn't have the budget to upgrade a new system, but has an old system, like an old Honeywell Delta system or an old Johnson control system, an old Andover system, old access and security cameras and systems and controllers, that they don't have the budget to go out and change the system out. They provide a service. They're ISA compliant, you know, ratings in terms of quality. But basically what they do, Kenny, you send a controller and they can refurbish it, or they'll send you out another one. So they provide a very unique and innovative solutions. And the thought process being they can keep your old system going while you get the money and the budget to get your new systems on board. And, you know, these guys, you know, they're one of the best kept secrets in the industry. Please go back and check out the video on control trends.
I apologize for that miscue, but I had them loaded up, and I actually have them under International Systems of America. So you'll see them referred to ISA and also International Systems of America. And actually, we had a great post on it because I think the thing that does you the best, your best marketing is the things that people that you do the services for say about you and the customers in general. They have the largest building, commercial building in the world, I believe, and that's the Pentagon. They provide they do the service work for the fire security there, or fire for sure. But I just want to make sure we tell our listeners that there's what ISA is like, and there's no other systems provider that works the way ISA does. It begins with their ability to quickly deliver new parts for existing and legacy systems from virtually any manufacturer. In addition, ISA has invested exclusively in the state-of-the-art testing facilities to repair parts or build a reconditioned alternative with a one-year warranty. Their team down there is really special, and they told us about some misconceptions about UL and how UL puts its stamp on the system and not necessarily a part. So as long as you don't change that part of the system, as long as you put in the same part, which they warranty, of course, for a year, that UL listing is not forfeited. So they have a team of service engineers that do expert system maintenance and or technical training for your on-site maintenance staff, and that they're located in 48 states. So they're one of the largest, they have one of the largest presence in that maintenance service market. And so they can do a lot that people don't know yet. So one of the things we're trying to do for ISA is getting the exposure, and more importantly, giving people that have these large legacy systems an opportunity to extend the life of those valuable systems. You know, it used to be that you were kind of came to a dead end, the products were sunsetted, and it was so automatic that you just had to go back and, you know, write a bond or go back into debt to pay for an upgrade or a new system, where now ISA provides a very bona fide solution.
They sure do, Kenny. ISA-NET.com is where you can find those guys and check out the post on Control Trends. Kenny, and they came on as a platinum sponsor, so we really appreciate those guys. We're not going to break down all the sponsors this week, but we will as time goes on. Another one that's new to us, came on as a platinum sponsor in a big-time way, is KMC Controls. So want to thank those guys. They have some unique products. They've been around for a long, long time. Smaller company, U.S.-based company, but don't let the size fool you. Those guys have some very innovative controls, including their simple VAV control, another great company. So check those guys out. Another one that came on, Kenny, that was new to us as a platinum sponsor is Contemporary Controls, George Thomas and Kirk Hawson and the guys over there. Let's break those guys down a little bit, Kenny, because you and I are both big George Thomas fans. We think he's one of the smartest guys in our industry. Just give him a little brief background on those guys, and then we'll move on to the heart of the show. And we'll catch up with the rest of our sponsors on subsequent episodes.
I'd love to, Eric. Well, first of all, I don't think people understand that a lot of the solutions they get, they buy them from one manufacturer and don't realize that they're all coming from probably single sources. And one of the strongest network experts in our control business is Contemporary Controls. And George Thomas is very, I would say he's one of the stalwarts of our industry. You know, he began back in the early 70s out of this basement. He started out as a TV repair service person. And he just, he said he was calling on, fixing 7-8 TVs or repairing TVs a day, to the point where he realized that there was another way to do business and servicing the electronic components that were out there. So basically, we're delighted to say that the Contemporary Controls will be a platinum sponsor for the Control Trends Awards. And that they now manufacture, they're a leading manufacturer of industrial building and commercial automation components, communication and network devices, and building automation controllers. And that George Thomas and his team at Contemporary Controls are ready to assist you with your next project. And we featured three of their products on the last post on Control Trends, and that was the CTR Link, which is a neat router. They had the BAS View. From their BAS automation product line, and they had the Scorpion series, which is an Ethernet performance product to accommodate high-speed services in a secure manner. So they got some really good stuff. And last month we covered their residential redundant sump pump controller. So they're making all kinds of neat products for the commercial and industrial markets that I don't think people see them to be as prolific and as successful as they are. And the month before that, Contemporary Controls sponsored the first German-speaking Niagara Forum. So Contemporary Controls is truly an international manufacturer of components. So
They sure are. And George Thomas, check these guys out. We'll put the website in there in the show notes, but the website is ccontrols.com, ccontrols.com. And then finally, we'll mention again, Delta Controls, Copper Tree Analytics, who is a sponsor of this week's episode of Control Talk Now. You can find those guys at deltacontrols.com, D-E-L-T-A, controls, all one word, .com. So Kenny, there are, break down some of our sponsors. We appreciate all of them. We'll be talking about them on every episode. We'll be breaking a couple of those companies down. So Kenny, I tell you what, with that, let's transition. Let's get into the control news of the week and let's break those down.
First up, we have an IT security post. What the actual damage was to Target on the breach that occurred there right around the Thanksgiving time last year, October, November. Basically, 2013's damage has been assessed. These reports came out of the Forbes and Associated Press news releases last week. Target has estimated that their hacking losses are $148 million minus a $38 million insurance receivable for a total loss of 11 cents per share. Still being calculated to add to those damages are Target's reputations, profits, and a host of lawsuits yet unsettled, not to mention the negative impact the breach has had on Target's expansion into Canada. Yet we know that Target is one of the 10 largest retail chains in the United States. I think they were number 6 at my last inquiry. And they have the financial strength and resources to recover. So our focus shifts then from this happened to what are they going to do to prevent a reoccurrence? What are they going to do to shore up their security banks? And I'll tell you what, they did a lot. They named Brad Mariano, Senior Vice President, Chief Information Office, Information Security Officer. They added, they appointed a new chief information officer, Bob DeRhodes. They joined the Financial Service Information Sharing and Analytics Center, or Analysis Center, and they invested $5 million into the Cybersecurity Coalition. And then probably the most important thing was they decommissioned the vendor access to the server that was impacted in the breach, and they disabled select vendor access ports and points, including the FTP and Telnet protocols. Although they're stained with the spilt milk, the details contained in the measures on that post are a good roadmap and the projected costs for others to learn from, budget for, and follow. So please visit that post because there's some really good security measures that they took that are available now for public dissemination.
Very cool, Kenny. All right, what do we have up next?
All right, next up we had how KMC makes the VAV control simple. Why don't you tell us about the Simply VAV series of controllers that are easy and unique?
Well, first of all, again, thank you to KMC. They came on as a platinum sponsor. We're thrilled to have those guys in here. Part of what those guys do is they're very innovative. KMCcontrols.com is a website you can find them there. They also have a link to a website they put together with a whole deal, everything you know about VAV. They're Simply VAV controls. And I got to tell you, Kenny, the thought process here, and that is, by the way, www.simplyvav.com breaks it down. But the thought process here, Kenny, is you got a robust backnet, a VAV controller that you do not need. You do not need a computer system to program. You can program with a computer system if you want, but you can also, Kenny, just use a little tool that you can go from step to step to step, device to device, program it with a little handheld device. So it's designed to be very, very simple. But again, don't let the fact that it's simple fool you, because it can be used on full-blown systems or a standalone VAV. It's a great transition product. So if you got an owner who's got five VAV boxes and isn't maybe not ready to go full-blown connect the system, this is a great controller to put in that can be connected later via BACnet. That is Eric Kruder, the grandson of the founder that's actually on the video. I'm looking forward to meeting him. If you look at the Simply VAV website, you can see what great video work he does. These guys are innovative, Kenny. Glad to have them on board, and we'll hear more from those guys as we go through the Control Trends Awards. All right, buddy, what do we have up next?
All right, next up, we have EZIO's annual conference in Madrid, Spain, September 15th through the 17th, 2014. This is truly a worldwide event, and they posted an agenda update, which we have all the information. We truly live and do business in the world economy, and sometimes the world comes to you, and sometimes you have to go out to the world. And you had a nice post on there back in July, but this is an update because now the show's starting to fill up. They have a beautiful hotel, Hilton Resort, Hilton Hotel, as the host hotel facility. There's going to be a lot of entertainment. There's a golf outing scheduled. There's a tour of the Real Madrid Spanish soccer team, which I think they're top five in the world. But there's a tour of the Santiago Bernabeu Real Madrid football stadium. It's a one-of-a-kind expert training and application, in addition to one-of-a-kind training and expertise application knowledge that is going to be provided by Mr. Mike Marston. And the featured product is going to be the award-winning FG32 DVC controller. So there's training going on. It's going to be a real super event. We get a lot of people from Europe telling us that this is, they're looking forward to it. And we got people going there from Australia. We have the agenda. It's on the post. We could read it, but it's 3 days of pretty aggressive fun, relaxation, and training.
And Kenny, we're going to be there. We're going to be covering it for Mad Mike and the team over at EZIO. So we're going to be there with our video cameras. We hope to give you guys a glimpse into what the rest of the world is doing with automation controls. But hey, why not just come join us over there? It's going to be a big time. Madrid, Spain is gorgeous. The food's great. The people are beautiful. They dance tango over there. Anybody that comes, and because we suggested, I'll give you free tango lessons. We'll go out and just have a good time there. So Kenny, it's going to be a great show. Still opportunity to register for that conference. So we have a link on the post where you can do that too. So Kenny, that's going to be a big time. And then you followed that right up with an interview that Mike Marston did, our friend Mike Marston from EZIO. Tell us about that.
I sure will, Eric. But you know what? I feel obligated to EZIO to just give people the level of in-depth training. The agenda is that they're going to, again, as we said, introduce the Mega Beast features and demo. They're going to show about the new EZIO VAV initiatives, Simply VAV and Belimo MP integration on the FG32. They're going to tell us about the product roadmap for EZIO. They're going to discuss what they've got going on with Backnet Client and Notion integration peripherals. There were improvements made to the CPT tool, the new programming editor, and the project-based engineering approach. And they're going to do an EZIO, the training plans and certification. Some of the guests are Barry Light of Halftech USA. Belimo will be there to introduce their new approach to VAV controls, changing the rules with EZIO. We'll have India's leading consultant talk about BMS and EZIO and their market needs and trends. We'll have Chris Schneider from OpenBMSCS. This is a one-size-fits-all user interface system. We're going to have Radu Petrescu from Einon that talks about analytics that engage your business in particular. Renaud Edvervine Fidelix, the impressive Modbus full-color user interface with a live integration demo. And as Eric said, the Control Trends Live with Ken and Eric. So I didn't mean to go back and rehash it, but I would have been remiss if I would have talked about some of the great things that they have on this agenda and why you want to be there.
Oh, I tell you what, Kenny, absolutely. And unlike buying stuff from Amazon or internet-only companies online where you have to pay taxes, going to Europe could be a tax deduction for you. Not that I'm an accountant, but it seems like a legitimate business expense to me. Get to mix the best of all worlds. So sign up now. We'll see you in Madrid, Spain.
All right. And you were right. We've got a Mike Marston heavy show this week, because Mike is just, he's so active and there's so much going on with EZIO in conjunction with their scheduled trip there for the worldwide meeting in Spain. Mike's been very busy. He was interviewed in the September edition of RACA. Mike is also, he's a very humble guy, but he's very knowledgeable. He's very hands-on. He can do everything he talks about, and he can walk the walk and as well as talk the talk. But he's also co-owner of EZIO Holdings, PTE Limited. And he has a lot of vision that he was very generous with sharing, not only what he intends to do as as a co-owner of EZIO, but where he sees the industry going. And he thinks it's all good. He thinks that the competition and the introduction of all this new technology is making us all better. But it's more importantly is that we're saving energy. We're doing something that's there's a mutual expectation to use the technology that's available. And the users are the ones that get the real benefit of it. And of course, they save money and energy, but we also have a cleaner environment. So this has a very solid green message to it. But I highly recommend everybody take a look at it. The last paragraph, it says the future looks good for building management systems, but it will change at a faster pace than it has done over the past 20 years. In fact, there has been little change, construction change in BMS over the last 20 years, except for the buzzwords and the introduction of BACnet. Next will be far more integration with M2M and IT. There'll be overall morphing of traditional building management systems into new web-based enterprises such as Google, IBMS, Nest, Intel, Cisco, that will combine energy management on a mass scale for both commercial and residential buildings. It won't be just the skyscrapers getting the benefits of BMS, BAS, M2M. It will be every building, big and small. So excuse me, great post by Mike. Read the whole thing, on the Control Trends link. And we're going to see Mike here in a very near post. So what do you think about the article here, Eric?
Oh, I think it's great, and I think you should just come to Spain and see Mike in person. A very accessible guy. If you're in the business, he is somebody you need to know. If you know him, you'll buy his products. But even if you don't buy his products, he is one of the innovative thinkers in our industry.
It sure was, Eric. And then we'll just transition to the very next post, because we're trying to intersperse information and excitement about the Control Trends Awards and the nominees that will be following shortly, and the categories information that we'll be providing shortly. But last year, Mark Mike Marston shared the Control Trends Award highlight, the PID Award. And just to read off real quickly, we congratulated Ed Marwin from Tritium and Mike Marston from EZIO, co-winners of the 2013 Control Trends PID Award. The PID Award is an honor bestowed on an individual that consistently exhibits the qualities of professionalism, integrity, and dedication, and is voted by the worldwide Control Trends community. So again, hats off, Mike, and I'm sure you're going to be in the thick of things for this year, both in the products and personal side of the HVAC markets.
Very cool. And some people have asked me, Kenny, why sometimes we have more than one winner of the award. Although we put a lot of thought and a lot of effort into, you know, how the votes are counted and what goes on with those to make sure that it's fair to everybody. And we think we got it pretty darn close when it comes to the people side of it, because it's not flawless. If they're within 5% of each other, we give it to two people because we got such great people in the industry, and the Control Trends Awards really focuses on those folks. So Mike and Ed Merlin from Tritium, too close to call and both deserving. So therefore, we had two great winners at the 2013 PID Award. All right, Kenny, what do we have up next?
All right, next we had our post from the Department of Energy. The August, I kind of like the use of that both word. We had a title and we changed it because it was a little bit too flamboyant, but the August DOE release, a framework for characterizing connected equipment. We just see so much happening here, so much important stuff going on with the smart grid industry. You know, and the smart grid industry basically includes the dynamic management of residential, commercial building end-use loads brought about by the increasing connectivity available within the residential and commercial spaces and or the ability to control equipment externally or remotely. This August 2014, DOE, EERE, and an Energy Office and the Building Technologies Program report articulates and illustrates very succinctly the intelligent minutiae being used to unfold the inevitable universality and implementation of the smart grid. This was the first time I've actually seen an enlarged blow-up or exploded view of a smaller building where all the devices that you can think of become smart devices and become part of the machine-to-machine control. In other words, in a residence, you're going to start to see the refrigerator, the dishwasher, the dryer, the water heater, the furnace, the air conditioning unit are all going to be smart, and they're all going to be connected through the meter. And so when the tone goes down the utility grid, it's going to turn off the heater in the oven. The dryer, it'll still cycle and still tumble, but the heat will be turned off temporarily. The refrigerator will be set down to lowest setting. The water's temperatures will be reduced. The heating temperature will be lowered. The air conditioning temperature will be increased to get through that crisis moment. But what's interesting about this now is that for the people with the privacy issues and some of the other issues, this would be your opportunity to get involved because they're soliciting information, other opinions, inputs, whatever you want to do, whether you're a manufacturer or you're a consumer. You have an opportunity to read what's going on and comment. They're actually introducing, they're requesting input. They want input because the DOE issues notice of availability request for public comment on the framework document for the physical characterization of grid-connected commercial and residential building end-use equipment and appliances. So please participate. I'm sure all the big guys are very excited about getting involved here because this is what it's all about. The Office EERE is the Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy. They recognize that the market is developing portfolios of clean energy technologies that may require new innovative and implementation techniques to achieve large-scale deployment. So the government, DOE, is basically serving as a large-scale referee, and thereafter standard protocols, and thereafter the best end-use deployment. So it's going to be exciting because this is happening right in front of us. This is I consider this a historical document because it's going to affect the way the smart grid unfolds and basically how we participate at some point.
Right, Kenny, and an interesting sort of sub-trend to watch in this whole thing is the building automation controls industry, when the building started to come together in a similar manner, everybody had a proprietary protocol, and the deal was you just try to get your protocol sold because once you got it in the building, you pretty much own the customer. And what's fascinating to me is that you got people like Apple who are trying to push their proprietary protocol. You got people like Samsung that's trying to push their proprietary protocol. And then you got some of the people like Honeywell and some of the others where the protocol is more are open. So it's, you know, because Honeywell, actually you can use the Jace if you want to, or a version of that. So what's going to be an interesting trend to follow is, are they going to cycle through a proprietary type cycle, if you will, before the homeowners get upset and demand it, that they become open. So that's something we'll track and keep in mind, but a whole nother interesting part of the story.
Yeah, would it be ironic, Eric, if we finally get open up the protocols and normalize languages through the great work of the Treaty of Niagara Framework and some of the others, iconics and you know, some of the other real formidable stuff at the larger levels. But, you know, it'd be such an incredible setback if we make progress in the commercial building spaces and then somehow the big, strongest players in the world, Google or Microsoft or whatever, are able to despite that desire to be open, put their operating system as a corporate goal that would prevent open protocols from really being established. You'd have to tailor to them to get your appliance on into the house market. You'd have to write it in the iOS 8 or the Samsung SHP protocol. And I don't know. If you had to take a gut guess at what the percentage of possibilities of that happening, what would you say?
I think they're going to try. I mean, it's sort of inherent in our culture to, if you can monopolize something, I mean, I think there's still that mindset, which is not a bad mindset, but if you could win the game at the spec level so that no matter what everybody else did, they eventually had to come back to you. So you just keep going further and further upstream, Kenny, in my opinion, until you're able to get a linkage point. And I think we'll see it happen. I think we're seeing it in the building automation controls business. I mean, there's a lot of talk about, you know, people, yeah, your system can be open at the building level, but then you're going to have to come back to a particular type server or whatever to make it work. So I think we'll see that, at least the attempts of that, and we'll be sensitive to that, report on it. So Kenny, I tell you what, let's cycle on real quick, because the last post, it looks like the government is empowering in California. I don't know whether this is a Brian Turner thing. I don't know whether it's a Mike Swan thing. I don't know whether Dina Harris was involved with us from the George T. Hall Company, but it looks like they're going to encourage whistleblowing on energy abusers. Tell us about that.
I don't know. Brian probably, he's got the technology to do it or come up with the app. Mike Swan, I know he's a green guy. He's green collar all the way, and I'm sure he would not hesitate to use this app, but I think this app actually comes from the folks out there in Los Angeles, the city. And what this is a water whistleblowing application, and it's called EveryDrop. It's a water conservation platform, and we think the light litter is going to be next. But basically what this is, Eric, is you have an app that you can download to your either your Apple iOS device or your Samsung, I think it was, or Android. And what it does is it lets you report a water abuse. So if you're driving down the road and you see, let's say a fire hydrant is spouting water, or you have a neighbor who's watering their neighbor or their grass to keep it green during what they call, when they're in water conservation, they have different levels where you can't, they're asking everybody to do half loads on their laundry, take minute showers. Because what's happening is they really have critical water shortages. So they came out with an app now when waterways can be identified quickly, allowing conservation of every drop possible. By using this platform in conjunction with a GIS technology, the power of big data comes alive. Waterways can now be isolated, quantified, studied. Education is tantamount in the effort to conserve water. With the help of every drop, it's easier than ever. We have an obligation to be good stewards of our planet's resources, and every drop helps accomplish this goal. And this is endorsed by the government, by the city of Los Angeles, and it's now as expected. So if you see this, you're going to be able to report it, and it'll come in on a 911 line. But it'll be, when you're doing the different things with programming, you assign it 1 through 16 as far as its urgency, for alarms or whatever. 1 being the highest and 16 being the lowest. This falls in after a loose dog or. I'm trying to remember some of the things that they take as calls. 911 is overloaded as it begins with. So I imagine one of the groans that people you could hear out there would be another reason for people to call in on an emergency line. But it's downgraded into another channel where it's a non-emergency call, and then under the non-emergency calls, it was like sixth or seventh. But basically now you could get a citation for wasting water or violating some sort of a mandated restriction on the use of water. And of course, we're trying to look at what kind of a platform we can use to do the same thing with lights, with light litter, with the miles and miles of highway roads and local roads that have lights on, or the municipal airports and these different places that have tremendous lighting waste going on. There's nothing that seems like, it seems so, you know, we're helpless. So if this thing would take off, then I think it's just a matter of time before you'd see the same sort of application being made or being, you know, an application that would provide that same level of reporting for major light litter abuses.
And just to define it, light litter is a term that Kenny coined a couple years ago. And the definition of light litter, we've all seen it, is a beautiful sunny day. You're driving down the road and you see lights on. I mean, outside lights. The government, oddly enough, at least in Atlanta, is the biggest offender. You go to any sort of government location and you will see the lights are on, even on a beautiful day with sunshine. So huge potential to save money there. The app is really cool. Check that out. And Kenny, I think this is a great opportunity for us to transition into a new segment we're going to have on the show, which is your smart building tip of the week. So let's hit that right off the bat, Kenny, and let's start with saying that every statistic we read shows that commercial buildings use 40% of the energy worldwide, which is a lot more than transportation, a lot more than cars and other forms of transportation. And another interesting fact is Dell did a study saying that the majority of buildings, probably 90% of the buildings, shaving an additional 30% is very, very doable. And we think that that really has to do with the importance of, if you're going to put a system in to conserve your energy, you got to select the right platform to use. Right, Kenny? Because if you don't get started with the right platform, you could be very, very limited into what you could do.
You know, we're just, it depends, again, where you go to read what you're talking about for the consumption and efficiency of energy. But here we are, you know, 2014, and we're still seeing, as you mentioned with your meetings down in Atlanta, where people just aren't getting the message. They're not getting the memo. They're still putting buildings together where they don't have an integrated plan to reduce energy consumption and increase their energy efficiency. So we got this thing on the trends, 1979-2012, growth in building size outpaces increases in building stock. But what it boils down to is how much energy costs per square foot, and how the number of buildings, large buildings and commercial buildings, are increasing, but they're not becoming more efficient. They're actually putting in standalone systems that don't coordinate the entire energy effort within a building. But they're saying that the office, warehouse, storage, service, mercantile buildings are the most prevalent building types, accounting for more than one half of the total buildings and the total commercial floor space. So offices, warehouses, storage, service, mercantile. They're even talking about the religious worship and education, food services. And so these buildings are getting bigger and bigger, and more of them, and they're not becoming more energy efficient. And we just, it baffles us, because it's all there now. So that we're paying $1.51 per square foot, and we should be down about $1.15 per square foot for energy. And we have the means to do it. I think one of the biggest defenses about light litter and about lights being on there is it's a very low-tech solution. I mean, there are easy ways to fix that. It requires an investment, but obviously it will pay itself off at some point in time, probably very quickly in some cases. But same with this lighting within the building. We have the technology to deploy to make it almost easy. Once you put a building management system in there, if you have a network within a building and you have a web-enabled controller within that building, whether it's a Jace, Webs, FX60, whatever you have, we should be able to take care of your lighting problems.
Well, no, we should, Kenny. And so I think the first thing I'd say is I think the problem has come about, at least to a certain level, is that there are very few, I mean, sort of the way we've done business in the past, which is you have a consulting engineer, the consulting engineer writes a spec, people bid on the spec, the consulting engineers, a lot of them are not up on this technology, the new technology. They're still allowing proprietary systems to go in, and they haven't really educated themselves. It's business as usual. So tip one would be, to make sure you get the right platform and get everybody involved, you might want to reach out to somebody like Intelligent Buildings, guys like Tom Shurtleff and Rob Murchison, who specialize in making sure that everything gets coordinated, including that you get the right base system. And at the heart of that is the Vicon or Tritium Jace. Virtually every major controls manufacturer, there are some exceptions, use that as the base. So the second tip would be make sure that you have a Vicon or Tritium type Jace as the core of your system, and make sure that that has what they call an open NICS statement in that Jace. That will basically allow you to seamlessly hang on different types of devices where they communicate seamlessly together, which allows you to have very unique control strategies. And at the same time, you're not locked into a proprietary system, which just basically winds up costing you a whole lot more money. And Kenny, I think one of the things we got to do is we got to reach out and we got to start getting a list of enlightened engineers, consulting engineers that really understand this, acknowledge them. But that's the tip of the week. Make sure that you get the base of it correct, which we say is some form of a Jace that has an open NICS statement in it, and then we'll give you subsequent tips on what to do next. But the other thing could be, don't necessarily rely on your consulting engineer. If he doesn't understand what an open NICS statement is and what an open system truly is, then you need to reach out to, you know, a consultant like a guy like Tom Shurtleff or Rob Murchison with Intelligent Buildings, who specialize in these sorts of things. So there you have it. That is your Smart Buildings Tip of the Week. So, Kenny, let's shift gears real quick. As you may or may not know, the Control Trends Awards are coming up. It's going to be the awards event of the year. And, you know, part of that process, Kenny, is we have our nomination period, which is going to begin next week. And so the way this is going to work is we're going to send the nomination ballots out to the people. We have the email addresses, but we're also going to send a link so you can put it on your website. You can forward the link to whoever you want to forward it to. And essentially what you do there is we'll have some examples of the different categories. We'll have some people that have already been nominated, but there'll be a space on each category for you to write in up to three candidates if we've missed them, okay? So, and then what'll happen is once the nomination goes through, we'll count the number of votes for each one of the candidates. The top five or six in each category will go on to the finals, and the finals will, you know, have a whole separate voting process, but the voting on that won't start until November sometime. Kenny, we spent a lot of time trying to break the categories down to add some new categories. Part of the reason we want to go over it on the broadcast is to give you the opportunities, our listeners, if you think we've missed something or maybe mislabeled something or describing it wrong, you have the opportunity to reach out to us in comments and give us your suggestions. So with that, Kenny, let's break them down.
Certainly, Eric. I think just as a prelude, this is in Chicago, and this is going to be between the hours of 6 and 8 in the evening. And what we would really envision here at this point is a really crisp show, a very entertaining, a very high-energy show, but in the spirit of trying to recognize the real heroes and superstars in our industry, people-wise, solutions-wise, and products-wise, we decided we needed to expand some of the categories to get more recognition down to the most important levels where the actual things are happening, where the products are being developed, sold, supported, and so we have more categories. I could just start off here by telling you we've taken the controller of the year and we've come up with the building automation VAV controller of the year and also the building automation plant controller of the year. We have the energy savings hardware product of the year, the energy savings software of the year. We have the best peripheral product of the year, wireless product solution of the year, the lighting integration provider solution of the year, the third-party visualization software of the year, the building analytics software of the year, programming software tool of the year, residential thermostat of the year, commercial thermostat of the year, innovative product of the year, building automation control systems of the year, building integration and automation software of the year, VFD of the year. That's going to be interesting because there's so many new VFDs being introduced. The best technical support person, large manufacturer, which is over 50 million. Best technical support person, small manufacturer, of course, under 50 million. Best technical support company, large manufacturer, over 50 million. And best technical support company, small manufacturer, of course, under 50 million. Then we have the control trends persons of the year. And that's our PID award, which is a very, very unique and special award given out each year. We have the Executive of the Year Small Manufacturer, an Executive of the Year Large Manufacturer. And finally, we have the Control Trends Vendor of the Year Large Manufacturer over $50 million and Control Trends Vendor of the Year Small Manufacturer over $50 million. Now, again, there's a lot of really, really important products and solutions and people out there. And the only way we felt we could do to increase the participation, the illumination, the visibility into our industry was to add more categories.
Absolutely, Kenny. And some of them that we might need some help on, we're still trying to get down right correctly the description. Let's break down some of the visualization tools real quick, Kenny, and let's talk about those and some examples of what we perceive some of these companies being. And if we're off in any way on these, this is probably the most difficult categories for us to sort of get nailed. Again, we really appreciate some input in comments.
Well, I think what we did was we kind of subdivided or subgrouped data software, building automation software. We have third-party visualization software. There are people like J2 Innovations, the FinBuilder, the DG Logix, DG Lux, the BAS Services Graphics, QA Graphics, versus the analytics software that was kind of grouped before. And so you had Sky Foundry, CopperTree Analytics, Symmetrix Analytica, DataEye. They would be now separated. So we're not mixing apples and oranges in the same basket. We've got a better definition and separation of the two aspects of the software, the visualization aspect and the analytic aspect.
Absolutely, Kenny. So good stuff there. The residential versus the commercial thermostat, I think, was a great demarcation, if you will. Residential thermostats would be things like Nest, the Honeywell Lyric, maybe the Honeywell Prestige. White Rogers has thermostats that play in that arena. There are a ton of different people. The commercial thermostat could be everything from InTouch to Viconics, companies like that. And some of them, quite candidly, might play in more than one category. So I think that was a great demarcation. The other demarcation was the large versus small manufacturer. I don't mean in any way, shape, or form that the small manufacturers are not as important or as especially as important to our industry as the large ones are. But again, it's an opportunity to recognize some of the incredible companies and products and people in our industry. So, Kenny, this is going to be good stuff. What will happen is later this week, we said we were going to have the nomination ballots go out on the 15th. We didn't make that. We really want to get it right. But later this week, you'll see there'll be a link on the Control Trends website that will actually be a place where you can get your nomination ballot. Fill that in. You can take that. You can send that link to whoever you want to, people in your network. And again, what's important with that is there'll be names on there that have sort of already qualified. Maybe they were in the category last year or people have put them up for nominations. But each category will have at least three additional places where you can add nominees to that. So if somebody we missed, there's the opportunity for them to get added on and in there. So Kenny, it's going to be an exciting show. This is good stuff. Anything else you want to say before we call this one a wrap?
No, I just want to remind everybody that the Control Trends Awards are going to be at the AHR show, the actual McCormick place where you're going to go to see all the fabulous controls and equipment manufacturers and great shows, which is the AHR show. It's in McCormick Place. We are going to be in that same facility. We're going to be in the Hyatt Regency Hotel, and it's contiguously linked to the show. So it's an 8-minute walk from inside the show to the actual Control Trends Awards show. And so that's going to be very convenient. It's going to stop, you're not going to have to deal with the Chicago weather in January. And it's going to be 2 hours of the most electric, exciting, fun for our industry. And it's going to really highlight, because we've taken careful aim now to enlarge the number of categories to give more people to go deeper into our industry and get more visibility, because we said it so many times, 1,000 times, maybe more, but we want to do something. We want to change put the HVAC professionals, the executives, the technicians, the service persons, the people that really make all the important things done in this world for temperature control, for conditioned air that led to the great things that where Willis Carrier created the solution to the Sun Belt, so that we could take advantage advantage of all the great space in our country, but you needed air conditioning to do it. All these great stories still need to be told, but we need to create greater visibility and importance. We need to put the service technician for HVAC on the same par as any other professional, whether it's a lawyer, accountant, doctor, pilot, or whatever. Some of the people that are in our HVAC industry, they already make the same salaries. They just don't have the visibility. And we believe changing that career path by putting more illuminating our career paths, how we all got here and why we got here and why we do things so well and how our industry is so successful, so that we draw more talent into the HVAC industry, so that we got somebody to hand the baton to here in the very near future.
Absolutely, Kenny. It's going to be good stuff. Lots of surprises coming up at the Control Trends Awards. Again, thank you to our sponsors that committed early for us, because that really gives Kenny and I a budget to work with. We're committed to making this the most spectacular experience of the year for the people that come to the show. We'll be capturing it via video, so the show will live on, as you saw from an early example this week. And to our sponsors, we want to make sure it's the best marketing collateral they spend every year. So again, thanks to all our sponsors, Kenny. And again, this week's show is brought to you by Delta Controls, CopperTree Analytics. You can find those folks at deltacontrols.com. So we really appreciate them, as well as all our sponsors. So Kenny, with that, hopefully you guys like the new format. You should be able to subscribe in the iTunes store by the time you see this. If not, there's another, I think it's called Stitcher or whatever, you can subscribe there. But at the very least, you can just download it right there on the Control Trends site. You hit the download button, you can download it. Please send the link to anybody else in your organization or your group that might benefit from Control Talk Now. We'd appreciate that. And with that, Kenny Smyers, we got a big surprise coming up next week. We're not going to tell you about it now, but let's just Kenny, what do you think? Is it going to be a big surprise? Hint. So we'll be seeing you next week on Control Talk Now. I'm Eric Stromquist. He is the man, the myth, the legend, Kenny Smyers from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Thanks so much for tuning in this week. Have a great week, and remember, stay in control.
Indeed, Eric.
Indeed, Kenny Smyers.